Blog Talk Radio.
Have you always known that a reality greater than this should exist? Is now the time for you to step up and be the change you require in your life? What if that quiet whisper calling from the deep depths of you is the whisper of change? The whisper of what is truly possible? Would you be willing to start listening? Would you be willing to choose the true you? It's just a choice. Welcome to the What If Show, where possibility meets reality.
Hello, everyone. This is the What If
Show. Goodness gracious me. Hi. We're almost starting two shows at the same time. It's the What If Show time, and welcome to listening and joining us and dialing in and coming live. And we have a very special guest on the show this evening, Alison J.K. Alison, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, awesome. I can.
Yay!
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming onto the show today. This morning, I was reading a little bit more on the description, but even before I started reading, my whole body started tingling. I went, oh, wow, what is this? And then I got to reading what we're going to be talking about. I'm going, oh, yeah, my body knows some stuff. So,
yes, it does.
Thank you for coming on the show. I really look forward to having you and, just speaking to you and see what else is possible that you can, speak to the listeners about.
Fantastic. I'm excited to be here, Shalinda. Thank you for reaching out to me and having this platform to help everybody who wants to reach for more, have a sense that there is so much more available than we're currently led to believe and that our minds may have concluded as possible. It's my joy to help. It's interesting when I have worked with clients, I'm using the energy medicine that I created after 20 plus years in this field and living in Asia for 10 years and doing all the studying I did as a yoga teacher and Qigong teacher, et cetera. After clients have been receiving the energy for a while and it integrates in their system and they've seen and felt and they're experiencing and choosing from the changed energy, it's really fun to talk with them because it's interesting. It's such a challenge to explain to people before they start working with the energies in consciousness what else is possible. But once they start to feel how they feel and see what their lives become and open up to, then they can see, oh, my God, there's this whole other world of possibilities opened. So I'm so grateful to anybody who's helping others see that.
Awesome. And, before we get diving into the topic, because I know I've got quite a lot of questions to ask as well, and maybe before I actually get to have you talk a little bit more about you, I just want to tell the people that if you've dialed in and you are on the Blog Talk Radio page, you are more than welcome to also send us some questions. As you scroll down onto the page at the bottom, there's a little chat option. And yes, you can type your message there, and I'd be more than happy to relay them to Alison. So that's the house cleaning for tonight. I always make jokes when I have to say stuff like that because that's pretty much the amount of house cleaning or housekeeping that I'm prepared to do.
Yeah, I love it. So simple. Where are you in South Africa?
I'm actually in Johannesburg.
You're in Joburg. I thought you might be. I have my best girlfriend, who is also an expat with me over in Asia, is in Joburg too. And I went there and did some workshops actually I forget the name of the center right now. But there's an Acropolis Center right there in Joburg. So there's so many expats from South Africa. Some of my other best friends there were from South Africa in Taiwan and in Asia where I was. So it's just brilliant. I'm so grateful to be connecting with you. I did some of my radio shows when I had my first radio show over from South Africa. And the Wi-Fi sometimes can be challenging, hey?
Yes, I must also say things have been changing a little bit. So even in the area where I am now, the speed is quite nice and fast. I don't think it's close to anywhere else in the world. But yes, we're getting there. Do you know how I know that? Because I get to connect with you tonight. So how awesome is that?
Yeah. It's such brilliance what we can do in the connection around the world. I found the technology synonymous with consciousness. So as Bluetooth came out and people could talk, they were walking around talking to the ear, it looked like they were talking to themselves because the Bluetooth was hidden behind their ear. That's when telepathy felt like it broke free or broke through, when people started to open up their consciousness more. And all. So I feel like the technological advances, the oneness, the ability to connect around the world is with the internet is aligned mm-hmm. with our increasing oneness and consciousness and what's becoming available. It's fun.
That's rather interesting. I've never looked at it that way, and wow, that's rather awesome. Cool. So bring on more, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Alison, I am quite aware that there's a couple of the listeners that have dialed into the show and are listening and that will be listening that might not have heard of you before. So could you just give us a little bit of background of, you know, what it is that you do and how you came about what it is that you do before we delve into our topic?
Yes, just briefly, because there's a lot. I was a freshman in college for my bachelor's in psychology, and by the third semester I realized that the information we were being presented was incomplete, that it was focused on the hardwiring of the brain and on industrial management and things like that. So it wasn't focused on why do humans choose what they choose, believe what they believe, behave the way they behave. So I ended up from there on in looking into, I knew the system was incomplete because they weren't looking at the spiritual part of us. They weren't looking at the unconsciousness and the subconscious. Even with Freud and his work, I found that incomplete. And even with Carl Jung, who reached out to the East and incorporated energy and some of the more mystical aspects of human existence into his theories of archetypes, I, from there on in, was looking to complete the picture of the mind-body-spirit trinity, I guess we could call it, that causes us to choose what we choose and be who we are and believe what we believe. And so I ended up learning different energy medicine modalities, well, one at the time, and then I moved over to Asia because I was teaching and I wanted to teach at the international school system as a vehicle to help get me over to study energy at the source of where it comes from. So it's now 20 years, so I've been back to the States for 5 years. I'm planning my first retreat, leading a yoga retreat back to Thailand actually this summer. But I haven't been back to Asia since because I've been here busy full on with the reception and the need apparently in America of opening, and in the West, not just America, but opening and expanding to what else is possible beyond the current paradigm that has been offered and had people suffering. And so taking in living in Asia and learning Qigong and teaching Qigong and learning, I've been doing yoga for 20-something years, but I got certified in India while I was in Asia for that 10 years. I've been teaching meditation for 23 years. And in learning meditation, just learning to observe my mind and learning, gradually developing the detachment from the importance of my thoughts that we tend to place on our thoughts until we start to question our thoughts and realize we don't have to believe our thoughts, whether it's through access, consciousness, or it's through meditation, really created the space and access to more of, so meditation was my first way into accessing more of the consciousness that we are beyond our conscious thinking mind. And from there, it went into energy medicine modalities and then over to Asia to study. And looking at the results that people get with the work that I do is what keeps me doing it, frankly. Always asking. I mean, I backpacked overseas and lived overseas after I graduated from college, after my first career as a political consultant. So I've always been looking beyond our own paradigm and looking beyond my own backyard and asking what else is possible. I've always lived like that. Even as a young girl, I was out exploring nature every day and writing in journals and really connecting with the bigger picture. So, yeah, I hope that's enough for getting us started.
Yes, and for me, that's so inspirational. So thank you. Thank you for, you know, telling the story, because I can go, well, you know, you've been creating so much and stepping into really looking at, you know, what contribution you could be for people and obviously to yourself. And that just makes my heart so happy. And with our topic this evening, I'm curious. I would love to know, vibrational upgrade energy medicine. What is that?
Oh, you are so cute. I love what this term does to people, vibrational upgrade. What do you think it is? Can I do that? Are you okay with fielding that?
Yes. What do I think it is? Well, for me, it's pretty much acknowledging that we have all of this energy within us and around us. Maybe that for me is the step one, is acknowledging that and going, great, so how can I soup this up to have more?
Yeah, great, you did it. So in a more tangible, concrete way, I have, so my training is diverse, my certifications are diverse. I have a personal trainer certification and specialty certification in fitness nutrition. My focus there is mind-body fitness, so I bring in the chakras with core strengthening work when people come to me and want to get their abs tight or they want to tone and lose weight. I always bring in the elements of the mind-body connection. And so when people are talking to me about diet, for example, yesterday I was talking with someone who I've been working with in coaching and instructing in meditation, and he's on my Tuesday night group call where I do clearings and activations, and we were talking about him lightening up. He had come to me with anxiety, and over the last year and a half, it's definitely really lessened, and he's seeing possibilities now instead of the shutdown the mind can do in the fear that the mind can clamp onto, especially within the last decade or half a decade, where it's been out and about because of the huge shift we're going through. It's the biggest evolutionary leap in humanity ever. So there's a lot of fear to grab onto, and so he was doing that. And some would say they're floaters, elementals, or entities, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So one of the things I brought in was reishi mushroom, which I learned of over in Taiwan and in Asia. I mean, I would walk into alleys where they sold all the medicinal mushrooms, and they'd be like up to your waist, these big plastic bags full of the dried medicinal mushrooms of various quality, and just phenomenal watching and being absorbed and immersed in a culture that eats for pleasure, sure, and fun, sure, and sometimes sugar, sure, but also has an awareness of the health benefits of food and the centuries of investigation into some of the most potent tonic elixirs on the planet. So I have taught workshops here in health food stores about how to have different combinations of longevity-geared super herbs from both the Ayurvedic tradition of India and the Chinese, the Taoist Chinese tradition of the Chinese culture. They created the yin yang, so that's Taoism, that's the beginnings of the Chinese culture. So these longevity herbs made into tonics that taste like chai or mocha lattes. And so knowing that you can have in your food, in what comes through your nose if you're using certain essential oils, in your thinking, detaching from the thinking mind and opening up your being and expanding your consciousness so that you're not just listening to the thinking mind but open to the spirit, the life force, and letting that be upgraded through all practices. And so look at, that's combined with what we do with our bodies, it's combined with what we put in our bodies, it's combined with what scents we smell, what crystals we have around us. All the senses are engaged with the work I do with the vibrational upgrade system. And so then there's also the full-on energy medicine I do. And I use 6 different modalities, one of which I created. So everything, and I'll, like if I'm working with a client, I'll, if their hips are tight and I know it's related to the second chakra, I'll give them yoga poses to open up that area of the body to assist with the clearings we're doing via the energy medicine for that area of the body. And so all of it's a vibrational upgrade. We are an entire system of mind, body, and a spirit. So I address all fronts of it to give an elevation and an upliftment and releasing the density. And the, when I say density, I mean the blocks or the lockdowns of energy where it goes stagnant because of unconscious and subconscious beliefs. It's brilliant. I have so much fun doing this, Shalinda. I love what I do. It's so fun.
Awesome. I'm listening to you and I'm going, okay, my body's relaxing. You know, that's just listening to you, which is interesting and curious, but, because what in your experience, how can you explain to the people in the street that what just happened is you speak and my body relaxes, we're different continents, far away. What is the possible causes of that? And then I'm not sure if it ties into the chakras, but I'd love for us to then speak about the chakras as well. And does it tie into the chakras, the whatever this energy is, you speaking and me experiencing?
Well, that's such a great question. The last one you asked, the whole question, it's, there's a couple of different ways to explain it. And I love that you're conscious and obviously awake enough because of the work that you do and the, having this radio show speaks to that. And the average person a lot of the times doesn't recognize that in an exchange with somebody, there's an exchange of energy and they're left, you know, how we can walk away from an interaction with someone and feel really upbeat or really depressed or really relaxed. And so that's paying attention and observing the energy exchange. And when somebody's vibration is high, there's an entrainment that happens. So the lower vibration typically gets entrained or raised up to the higher vibration. So part of that is what's going on right now. Because I engage in so many practices all day long, and I've been doing this work for decades on myself. And so I cultivate my own life force to be at a certain buoyancy. And the relaxation is my first book that I wrote my last year in Asia. I came back here and had published in the States. It's called What If There's Nothing Wrong? And then when I sign that book, I say, so if our minds weren't busy finding something wrong, what would we then create? And my next book coming out in the spring is based on the co-creation and the act as a creator. What does that mean that we're co-creating our lives? And I look at all of that. So from that perspective, you're receiving a person who lives that, that my mind is telling me that there's something wrong, but what's, like as Access says, what's right about this I'm not getting. So my lived and experienced understanding is coming from my energy, because I've configured my energy very differently. It's not centered around my mind, in my thinking mind, in my thoughts. It's centered around my connection to source and allowing, and when I say connection to source, one of the ways, that's one of the ways we can construe it, right? But there's so many different ways. Just my connection to all the life force all around us and opened up to what's beyond the mind, the thinking mind, and allowing that consciousness to completely magnetize to my system and having it tune my system to magnetize it to me. So you're getting all of the results of my work through the vibrations in my tone and in my energy itself. So it's a energy, as you know, supersedes time and space and in distance. It doesn't matter. I mean, 65% of my client base is from around the world, not local. And it's really cool. Sometimes the results are even more phenomenal with distant clients than like in an exact situation, the way that we're laid out right now across Skype and across the planet, as a, sometimes they're even better than with the hands-on. Because when I'm hands-on local with somebody, this is another way to answer your question. There seems to be personality stuff, ego mind, as we call it in the meditation tradition,
that gets them active and can in the beginning of the session anyway, and can get in the way of it. And so the information I get when I'm working with somebody from a distance is that much more pure and clean and targeted without the interaction happening. Because I'll interact with somebody on the phone before their session or on Skype or Google Plus, and then we'll hang up and I'll start the treatment and send it to them using their pictures for an hour and a half. So it's different. But there's a, and so part of my system too, from having done that, Shalinda, for years, seems to be geared towards projecting the energy. So I just was talking to my Reiki master about this last month. Since I've been doing group calls, since I've been back here and doing group healings and my old radio show and my own monthly free call, the nature of my healing capacities has morphed to suit those needs. And so I clear audiences as I talk. And I remember even when I was teaching in the classroom and I was doing the healing work part-time or the energy work part-time, I would clear my students each new school year for like the first month. It was really funny. I wouldn't do it intentionally at first because I didn't realize I was doing it. But there was a definite shift that my students would go through, and then you could identify them as Miss K's kids. So there's a lot that's happening, and then some stuff I don't even know what's happening. In the Buddhist tradition, they call it a transmission from the master or the guru to the non-master or non-guru, but I don't really totally follow that labeling or identity. So they're in that process, though. There's somebody who's considered who has done this kind of work for a long time, able to transmit where you can get to through the energy to the person who hasn't yet done that amount of work. So it's kind of a modeling of what else is possible. You're able to experientially feel it. And the calmness is a great result of it, because it's like the mind can't take you off.
Sorry, you just said the mind can't?
Take you off. So you just stay calm. What if there's nothing wrong? You just stay centered and know that whatever... And know that whatever comes up, you trust yourself to be able to handle, and you, in the view, part of what the conversion is that I do when I work with people, and I just did this on an interview yesterday in a telecall series last month. It was brilliant to watch people go from being in reaction to the outside world, where we're construing it as we're at the mercy of our society and the beliefs of the society and our family and our community, and we're not at all creating it, that the rules, the laws, the structures, the beliefs, the systems, when we go to school, what ages we go to school, how everything happens, the infrastructure, the whole meta paradigm, that we don't influence that, that we're just at the mercy of it. And taking somebody out of that to realizing I am this huge system around this physical body that has huge capacity for creation. And in fact, all of these ways that we organize our streets in America are different than the ways that in Joburg the streets are organized, and different than the way the streets are organized in Bangkok and in Taipei and in Madras or Chennai in India. So that's because of beliefs. Here in America, we have these straight blocks cut out in the urban planning because there was a sense of desire for control and order and allow the cities to spread out to the suburbs as land got eaten up in the structured way. So that's different than some of the windy roads in other parts of America itself because it's so big, but also in other countries. So you just the way, without even thinking, because it's not conscious, it's subconscious and unconscious. We don't register this. We just live here, typically. If you're going about your life as an average person, you don't see and understand the whole context that your body and spirit and being in mind or consciousness, however you want to construe it, is the whole context it's existing in is created by other people's minds. So
understanding that we're in a new era, we're in humanity's biggest leap in evolution ever, in playing with the high vibrations that are now accessible to assist us into what's been touted as humanity's spiritual awakening, and really benefiting from that instead of being on the receiving end of all of the chaos and the fear as things change, and instead learning to surf the waves and taking advantage of this dynamic energy, that conversion to put people in the center of their own system, in their connection with their higher self or their being or source, again, however you put it, and that they can choose what they bring in and allow in their environment and what they interact with, and even converting them out of, I'm at the mercy of all of these policies, laws, and ways that we do stuff, and I actually have choice, that first breakthrough is huge, and it's a reset for a human. But then going into the conversion where they're grounded and centered in their body, they're not spacing out, they're not all over the place mentally, they're not tripping, they don't have a hard time with their keeping their concentration or their focus, they're grounded with their being in their body, and then they're able to see what they've created and assess where it wants change, where they can apply the question, what else is possible? Because parts of their lives, let's say their relationship or their income source or where they live, it's just not working for them. So they assess their lives and then start being activated as the chooser, and that's the conversion. Yeah, so you're hearing that too. You're hearing that grounded, centered possibility of we are these projectors on top of necks.
Wow.
Yeah, it's. I must tell you that when I listen to you and I hear the possibilities that's available, when I first heard about chakras, I went, oh, chakras, interesting, blah, blah, blah. And I've done that now, you know, over a couple of years. Until recently, when I heard about the term again, I went, wait a minute, if I'm so blah, blah, blah about it, there must be something in there for me. So what is it that you do with the chakras? And also know that there might be people that don't even know what that is. So I don't know if you first want to just give a little breakdown of what the chakras are. But I'm looking to discuss tonight as well the work that you do with the chakras and how that actually enables people to step into, you know, this higher vibration and choosing for them and creating a different life and reality for them.
Oh, brilliant. My favorite topic.
Yes.
So let's see what I can do with the time we have to answer that huge, wonderful question. Because it is life-changing. Sharlinda, when I communicate this energy to folks, it's really, really fun when I'm in a live group to watch an entire audience shift back in their seats when they hear, oh, that's me. I have that. I've been like that my whole life. And they understand why there might be physical tightness in one part of the body and how it relates to their beliefs about something. So it's a real great roadmap to understanding and gaining much more awareness about oneself. So the chakra means wheel from Sanskrit to English. And so we have seven of them. They're considered the intersection of the mind, body, and spirit. And we have seven major ones that go along our spine, and they're like these wheels are kind of like vortices that emanate out energy at the front and the back. So they go along our central column, so to speak. And there's one at the top of the head, there's one in between the eyebrows, there's one at the throat, there's one at the heart, there's one at the upper digestive tract at the solar plexus, and there's one at the lower abdomen, the dantian, as we call it in Qigong, or the core, as you call it in fitness. And then there's one at the root. And so the intersection of the mind, the body, and the spirit, and each one correlates to a part of life. So
the root chakra, for example, is the one that involves our legs, our feet, our toes, our tailbone, and that root chakra is located at the perineum, at the tailbone, the coccyx. And it's dealing with the foundation to our life, our foundational support. So I used to teach AP Psych in the international school that I worked in. In teaching psych, there's a chapter, a course on human development. And it was a beautiful time to go back and revisit to my earlier psychology training using this college-level textbook, Psychology 101, and look at how the West construed development. But it helped fill in some stuff with how our beliefs get wired in neurologically from the womb to about age 8. So when we are in the womb, it's sonic, it's water, and we're absorbing, because of that, that much more the vibrations, the feelings, the tone of our mom and of the environment she's in, because the water carries vibration, it's a conductor for it. And then we get born, and from ages 0 to 2, we don't have much separation from the thoughts and feelings of our parents. And then once we start with that saying no, the terrible two stage, that's when we start to form the ego mind or the ego identity, because we're separating. And so up to age about 8, we're forming all these neurological connections in our brain because we're busy trying to understand life and how to have that yummy feeling mom gives me and how to have that yummy feeling dad gives me and how to get fed and how to get what we want. And so we might, if our root, so there's people talk about clearing the chakras every day, and that's great. I do that on a weekly basis in my yoga and meditation class where we do postures for the chakras. And all of yoga is designed around the chakras. I mean, you leave a yoga class feeling so light, not because you've been in your body only, but because you've opened up your chakras more. The prana or the chi or the life force or the consciousness or the energy is flowing through that center more. So the poses are all designed to open up these energy centers, these chakras or wheels that turn the vital life force energy. So we have beliefs. I'll come back to what I was just talking about with the developmental years. So we have beliefs that relate to each of the chakras. And so the third chakra at the solar plexus is around the beliefs about us being able to desire. We have the right to desire what we desire. And that's the will center, as the traditional folks have defined the chakra system. So that's the upper abs. It's no mistake. And it's bright yellow, and the inner child's also there, and the element of joy, therefore, is also there. And the equipment that we empathically sense energy from others is also located there. So if we don't feel like we have the right to desire what we desire because we've been raised to be a certain way, and if we don't want to be that way, but we see everybody else around us choosing that way, and we don't feel like we have the right to do anything different, then we'll have this chakra effect of the upper digestive tract. So you might have a more lethargic digestion, or you might be so busy trying to keep up with all of what you feel burdened to create because you're not having the right to desire what you desire, but you're obligated to provide for your family, and it has to be done in a certain way you've been shown by your parents and by all of those around you. So you're not really doing the job that you love, because you don't really believe you have the right to desire anything different, but you're obligated to manifest. You draw on that third chakra, and that ends up, I'm getting pretty advanced now, but that ends up with sugar cravings of the complex carbs, like the bread, the fast sugar rushes, to help you keep up with what you feel you need to manifest. And caffeine and stimulants will be used. And because the third chakra is depleted, there's not vital life force energy being turned throughout that area to keep it strong and vibrant, and you're able to manifest. Because you're turned down with the, you've turned down that turning of the life force energy. The wheel is a bit closed if you don't believe you have the right to desire what you desire. So you're operating at less than optimal fuel. And so you use stimulants to keep up with that, still being the manifesting center, what you're manifesting. out into the world, even if it's not what you want. And so the fifth chakra is at the throat, and that's the one that's about communication. But it's also, and I present the chakra system in a very different way. There's either people who are yoga teachers or there's energy medicine practitioners, but it does. I'm the only one that I know that's out there that marries these. So I have a very different understanding and the personal trainer aspect to it too. So the fifth chakra, yes, it's the communication center, but what's not frequently talked about the fifth chakra that I've been seeing increasingly in the last 5 years of my practice is a challenge for most people, because that's the choice center. That's the creativity center. So if you consider all of the energy coming in through the tops of our heads, that's the crown chakra. And then the sixth chakra in between our eyebrows, our third eye, is our intuitive guidance. And that's more spiritual energies. The way the chakra column's understood is you go down through the neck, the throat chakra there. Once you hit the heart chakra, you're more in the physical earth plane. And once you go below the heart chakra to the bottom three, you're now on the earth plane. So it's understood that we're, and I do attunements that will attune people's crown chakra to be able to be more open and grab more life force and be more open as an antenna for that life force. So when somebody is flowing that energy down from their crown chakra, and it's, and each chakra is aligned with a hormone, so at the crown chakra is the pineal gland. And in Western science, they consider that shuts off once we're done with the human growth hormone needing to be produced till around age 19 or so, and then it calcifies. But what we know in the spiritual practices or in the yogic world, and even David Wolf talks about this with his focus on longevity, we can juice up that pineal gland to not dry up. And in the yogic world, that's when we call it calcified over here, as if it's dead and dormant, others go by crystals of calcite. So in the yogic tradition, it's understood that that calcified or calcite or crystallized little gland in the center of the head then turns upward once we start a sustained meditation practice, spiritual practice, or even with the access work, opening up to our being, moving beyond the mind. Then that pineal gland turns up towards the light, or the life force coming in through the crown chakra takes that and then turns it down and flushes the entire chakra column with that light. And that's basically the process of enlightenment. So coming from the top down, that's the way the enlightenment shows up in the chakra column. I don't mean to overly simplify enlightenment, but it's a beautiful function of how the light works and why the term enlightenment is there. So if we look at the chakra column, you look at your body and you consider, I have higher vibrations, I have higher connected to source or to all that is, all the life force around me coming in through my head, and I have guidance wired in between my eyebrows for my intuition. And then at my throat, I have the ability to choose to create what it is I desire. If we're not actively using that choice mechanism, that fifth chakra will not be open, turning the vital life force energy. So we'll have possibly a tightened neck, a tightened jaw, a thyroid challenge, difficulty speaking in public, difficulty speaking up. You can hear it in somebody's tone of their voice and the tenor of their voice. And then also what that can lead to is the life force or the energy doesn't dump down to the torso, to the perineum, the tailbone, to that root chakra, down out through the feet. So people can end up really spacey. They can end up, because it's like a cork on a bottle at the neck with a throat chakra. If we're not actively choosing and actively creating the life that we're guided, that is what we actually want, our systems, so what I'm saying, stepping out of this deep instruction for a moment, is our systems are innately wired for us to choose based on our joy and create and live our lives based on what makes us happy. Our systems are geared for health and well-being and longevity as long as we're choosing what makes us happy and we're living that. Our systems suffer when we shut our life force down, when we shut down our possibilities, when we shut down to the possibilities of life. So coming back down to the root chakra, that's the foundation of us then. So that's the most earth-related chakra, and that's considered to be what our foundation is built upon. That's the, all the things about life. So money, feeling safe in your body, feeling like you want to be in your body, feeling safe on planet Earth, feeling like you have your basic needs provided for, food, shelter, and clothing, all of that's foundational. So your foundation is there in place. If you have all of that secured, then your root chakra will be fine. Sexual trauma also can distort and disrupt and close down the root chakra. So if that's, so you're getting a sense that there's these different beliefs that affect the different parts of our body. And so at the root chakra, that's also very much what is getting formed in our parents, our mother's womb, and in the first 8 years of our lives. But as we're busy trying to understand, how do I get mom to give me that good feeling? Oh, she likes it when I'm a good little girl. How do I get that good feeling from dad? Oh, he likes it when I follow mom around and help her clean and do dishes, but not talk. That will close down our fifth chakra on a foundational unconscious energy pattern level. So this is what I then come in and do. I'll unwind these foundational energy patterns, because yes, you can keep your chakras balanced or clear to a degree on a daily basis with light work and light maintenance, but there are foundational unconscious patterns based on beliefs we concluded unconsciously and subconsciously that then get wired into the relevant chakra, and then that part of the body has a predisposition to be vulnerable, more vulnerable to injuries. Because you can have two people in the same car accident. One gets whiplash and one doesn't. I had this happen, actually, not in a car accident, but I was thrown from my scooter in Taiwan, hit by a drunk driver, up into the air and did three spins before I fell back down onto the planet. And my top of my head was what I landed on. And the doctors are like, you should have been a vegetable or dead. And I knew it was, he said, just because you have musculature. But it was also because my throat chakra was open and it was not allowing for the crunch. I asked my yoga teacher in India about when he said something about tight hamstrings are due to stored anger. And I said, come on, Lali. I had already been doing this work for like 15 plus years. Come on, Lali, or around 15 years. Isn't it? So I already believed in the mind-body connection and worked from that. And so he's presenting it to me, and I'm still questioning it by saying to him, isn't it just because we run out on the beach in bare feet without stretching, and that tightens the hamstrings? And he said, sure, but hamstrings store anger. So what he was implying was there's a vulnerability that exists based on if the chakra is turning vital life force energy or not. Now, I know I'm talking about the hamstrings. It's a little bit different, but just take the concept and apply it, that the neck would become vulnerable if there isn't that, if that chakra is closed down because the life force isn't turning in that area and providing a sense of protection. So by working on our beliefs at an unconscious and subconscious level, it unlocks stuck energy, which weighs us down and doesn't allow that part of the body to be as vibrant and flexible, and in that part of our life to be as vibrant and flexible, whether it's our finances or our sensuality and sexuality or our will or our love or our connection to others or any of the other three chakras aspects of life that they contain. The part of our life also gets affected. And so by unwinding the foundational energy patterns, we can undo not only the tightness in the body or possibly even the dis-ease will then shifts out of the body, as well as the part of life gets affected. So I always go to the core, which is our beliefs. I go to the energy where the unconsciousness is locked in, and then I also go to the subconscious beliefs. So we undo those. We free up consciousness or energy to now be conscious because it's no longer trapped at the sub level or the un level. It's now able to be released consciousness, and now there's more consciousness in a person's system, and hence their vibration raises and their life gets fed by that life force and they're more vibrant and alive.
Awesome. So is there some exercise that you can maybe share with the listeners that they can do immediately, you know, to start creating that as a change for them.
I'm listening right now to guidance to see what would be the biggest contribution to. Okay, here's one. I've never done this before in an interview, Sherlinda. Aren't you special?
It's quite advanced. And I expected this to be advanced. I had the sense this was going to be a fun, advanced interview. And I normally don't go into depth the way I just did, too, with the chakra system, but you're just heating this up. You're not ready for it. So I'm going to give you a combination of something from both yoga and qigong and energy medicine. So if we take our hands and we hold the palms out and hold them about a foot or like 20 centimeters apart, and then slowly push the palms towards each other. Don't let them touch.
Mm-hmm.
And now slowly pull them apart. Yeah. And you don't have to come back out to the 20 centimeters. You can just come out to like 15. And now push towards each other again. And now come back out. What are you? And then come back in. What are you starting to feel?
Yeah, there's a sensation in the palm of my hands. It's itching a little bit, but there's also like a definite pull and push that I can sense.
Perfect.
That there's something there. It's not easy.
Perfect. Yeah. So life force or prana or chi. Or qi, like the Reiki energy medicine. Qi means the same thing as qi, like Tai Chi and Qigong, and prana in the yogic world, and that's vital life force energy in English. That's in between your hands right now. You're feeling your own flow. And so what I call my own energy medicine that I created is also the vibrational upgrade system, yes, but it's chakra flow energy medicine, because the ideal is we get the energy flowing from the top of our head down to the root chakra, and that will flow all the energy and the vital life force throughout our entire system. So chi is electric and it's magnetic. And so you're feeling by the itchy, you're feeling the sensation electrically. And for those listeners who felt heat, that's the electricity. And by you saying there's something there, you feel the definite push and pull, that's the magnetism. So it's electric and it's magnetic, and so you might feeling, Charlinda said tingles, but you guys listening might feel the, she said itchy, you might feel tingles. It's the same thing. And as if you can't push your hands together, it's that energy that's in between your hands. And so that energy is the life force flowing through your system. So it's fun to learn to identify the different words of energy and what energy feels like. So, Charlinda, if you put your left hand, and listeners, on the top of your head, and then you take your right hand, do it either way you want. You can use either hand and put it on your tailbone. So you're right at the top of your butt crack.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, just do that.
Wow.
So if you sat like this, let's say you got up. Because everybody, we have chakras out of our feet and at the soles of our feet and then our hands. So you know how moms will comfort their babies on the tummy with their hands and to soothe the tummy, rubbing the tummy?
Mm-hmm.
That's the life voice that's soothing the child as well as the mom's love. So it doesn't. So I attune people to have these antennas that we all have above our head on the crown chakra that has the life force directed towards it, turned up even more. And so they have more flow coming out of the hands, like I once did with my first energy medicine Reiki. But everybody has energy and life force flowing from the hands, as you just felt. So you're helping your system flow more life force right now by doing this. So if you do this 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes at night, you would gradually, if not quickly, in the times we're living in the powerhouse that you're appearing to be, Charlinda, you'd find, you'd see changes.
Even if you want to went, sorry. No, you
what?
Can continue. As I said, the one thing that's so beautiful from having done that is having the awareness that there's so much. I don't even want to define it. But if I have to put a word to it, there's so
yes.
much phenomenon in our beings and us being here on this planet by being aware of the energies and the flow and the, you know, the contribution it can be. Goodness gracious, you know, but
yes.
what you've just done for me and for the listeners right now, it's just so awesome. And I, as I said, I don't even want to define just how beautiful
no.
that is.
It's big. It's big. I mean, like, here's another one. If you want to, you can. You know what's really fun? I actually wrote a chapter in as a contributing author in a book called Manifest Change, and it's from, what is it? She's the publisher, Erica Glessing, for a lot of the Access Consciousness Facilitators. And so it's the book that I'm in with her is called Manifest Change. It's Happy Publishing. And so the chapter I contributed is a story when I was teaching junior high boys an after-school club with a colleague of mine. And he was like, how do we work with these attention deficit kids, the boys in the middle at the middle school level who are just bouncing out of their seats? How do we get them, and they're not doing good in school, how do we get them to have more confidence? So we formed a stress reduction and relaxation club. And I was teaching them Qigong. It was really, and so the chapter I wrote is about the fun I had turning these boys onto, we went outside, there was a row of bushes, so not plants, low, but like about waist high, that kind of line like somebody's house or would line the schoolyard. And then there were a couple of trees, and I stood under the tree and I said, watch you guys, I'm going to make the trees wave at me. And I'm sitting by one right now. Charlinda, it's on the other side of the window. I'm looking out, and it's doing it. So your life force, you can learn to connect with the life force in a tree. So it's not a big breeze. It's not like the top. If you're standing under the lowest limb or branch with the leaves right there, you're not going to see like the top of the tree start as if there's a big wind. What you'll see instead is it's almost like the leaves of that lowest branch that you're standing under kind of are waving at you, like there's a flutter. So you can test to see how wide open your life force is and your energy is by going out and doing that. It's so fun. And it'll grow more. If you do what I just did with one hand on the... Rub your hands together, I think, before you put one on the tailbone and one on the head to get the heat generated so that there's more flowing. That would help too. And then you can measure like how much you're increasing if you wanted. By, you might not have the tree react. Shelland, you probably will. But some people might not have the tree react right away. Don't get discouraged. And you'll learn to distinguish the difference between the energy or the consciousness flowing in the tree and the difference between that and wind. If you just practice, you'll see it starting. And then you can watch like the next tree start to flutter. And you can actually create a breeze. Not like a wind, but like a waving. Yeah, cool stuff.
And is that possible also for, what can I call it, inanimate objects? Because I've been having such a giggle the last couple of days because I've been focusing on something, I was busy writing or reading a book, but I had a pen close by on a table. And as I was reading, it actually seemed as the pen was coming closer to me. And I was going, okay, so that's different. Sorry?
I don't know. Was it your perception? Is it possible it was your... because I get that a lot nowadays too. Like the time and distance, it's playing. And you know how I love turning newbies on to the idea of, you know how time goes by fast when you're having fun and it goes slow when you're not. Well, that's then therefore you're able to see it's a perception. It's mind created. So I think the same thing is happening right now with distance. So if you catch it from one angle or one side of your brain, I want to say, like the more intuitive side, and you're looking at that object on the table, it might appear a certain distance. And then if you use the other eye and the other side of the brain that's more time-space oriented, it might look different distance-wise. I don't know. You could have moved it too. Telekinesis. I mean, it's a skill. I remember when I first started teaching high school boys meditation, they wanted to know how to melt snow like a monk laying on or meditating on top of a pile of snow. How do I melt this? They wanted to know how to move things and do the big fantastic feats right away. they'd heard the monks doing, as opposed to, wait a minute, just quiet your mind first. You can get to the stuff beyond the thoughts. So I don't know. You could. My sense is yes. Intuitively, I'm hearing yeah. You did move it.
Oh, that's awesome. And it's just that there's so much magic available to us if we are willing to just be that magic, right?
Right. Yes. That's like a big capital letter. Yes, in red. Yes. Willing to be the magic. And the mind will doubt it. The mind will doubt it. The mind will say it can't be this easy. It's not. There's got to be a problem. This is wrong. It's got to be a breeze. I'm not this happy. We're not meant to be. The mind will try in the beginning, as you shift yourself, will try to talk you out of it. And the Native Americans, they call that the trickster. They have an animal dedicated to that idea and understanding they had that the mind does that. When we go for more, there's a part of us, the mind, that wants to keep us back down in the limited familiar. And so they give the coyote, the wolf, but the coyote as the trickster energy of our minds wanting to stay small. And so it's the dog, it's the imagery of the dog chasing its tail. So yes, we can. It is meant to be this magical and happy, but the majority around us in this reality aren't living it. So we think that it's supposed to be a problem-driven society. We think that if it's wrong or I'm making myself feel bad or wrong or heavy, that's actually true. I love how Access coins that. You know, if it's lighter, it's true. So I was just talking to somebody yesterday where he was gauging truth by heaviness. Yeah, that's familiar. That's heavy. That must be true. It's so unfamiliar with the lightness.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, that is rather interesting. Okay, so Alison, I know for me for sure, I would so love to know how more I can play with you and the programs that you're doing and what it is you're busy with. How can the listeners also connect with you and what is it that you are busy with? Because I know you've got a book you're coming up with, right?
Because what was the last? I was laughing so loud I couldn't hear you.
And maybe you also said that you're releasing a book soon.
Okay, I just opened up to our. Okay, I think that the show was playing because I had the page open, so that was the interruption right there. Sorry about that. What's your Linda?
I was just saying, there's that distance and time thing again.
Yeah, and technology and being in the space and the ease and not in the, wait, let me close that window, mind.
It's fine.
Well, I do this Tuesday night call that I am loving who's attracted to that nowadays and always, but nowadays it seems to be really advanced folks that are really ready to stop getting in their own way and stop stopping themselves, and really has me finding this whole tree
of branches from the one belief that's the trunk of the tree, I don't get what I want, or I can't have what I want. And it seems to be what I keep doing, all of these different nuanced beliefs around that. Like, if you as a kid growing up, your brother or your sister got more of what she wanted, or you don't believe that you, looking at the people around you, there's so many people struggling, how is it that we get what we want? Nobody really gets what they want. Or I have to have a huge lesson attached in order to get what I want, or I have to work hard in order to, so it's all these whole family beliefs. And we hear this in Access too, the, you know, the conclusions, the decisions, the judgments, and the computations that keep us locked into limitation. So the Tuesday night call that I do is really fun because I'm not using Access on that. I'm using my vibrational energy medicine, the upgrade, and then I'm using Theta Clearings on that. And a lot of people use that to go to sleep too. And so it's just an hour of me clearing people. And the group energy is really profound too. And it's so, it gives, I just got feedback yesterday from somebody, and he said it gives me so much peace and so much calm. Like what you were feeling in the beginning of the call, that's what you get for a whole hour while you're getting your unconsciousness and your subconscious blocks cleared. So I'll be, some of the people on the call are my one-on-one clients, and I'll be talking to them later in the week during their one-on-one, and I'll say to them, yeah, that second third of clearings on Tuesday night seem to be directed towards your system. So you get your own system cleared, but then there's an exponentialization that happens with the group power together. So that Tuesday night thing is an ongoing service that I offer. It's the least expensive way to access working with me. And then I do one-on-ones, and I have, so you can reach out to me on the website. It's allisonjk.com with one L. And then I have my second book releasing in March, and big book release events coming up with that. And then I'm starting a retreat, the retreat leg of my business, with a trip over to Thailand in July and August. I've had a lot of people asking me to do a retreat, taking them over to Asia. So we're going to go to Thailand and have a yoga retreat. So there's just, I can't, Shelinda, it's a matter of keeping up with all that I want to create and all that I have created. There's so much going on. That's just a short list.
It is. And, you know, I so love that you've mentioned about your course that you have every Tuesday. And the theta, people say it differently, theta or theta. I guess it depends on where you are in the world, right? Because that's also one of the things that I'm facilitated or a facilitator for. And that has been such
cool.
A gift.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's such a gift to know that there's other people that are playing with it.
Yeah, and Shelinda, mine are kind of different because I do it out loud. Because of my training as a meditation teacher and understanding what the cognitive mind does, I do the clearings out loud because it seems like it helps people know what's happening, so it quiets that chatty mind. And then it also seems to impact the results because they know kind of what they got when they don't go unconscious because I've hit a block, but when they're present enough or they've listened to the recording enough times and then they actually hear the new clearings, they have something to hold on to, so they see what it is in their lives that's changing. So it helps actually quicken the results because their expectations are cued differently. I did that before I ever met Access Consciousness in the clearings out loud with Access. But I think doing the theta out loud, it's my voice too. It's people have used it to replace sleep medication, that Tuesday night call. So theta out loud is a different gig, and Vienna is coming out with so much new stuff. That's so cool. You're a theta healer. I didn't know that.
Yeah, actually, I have a different modality than hers, but they also, it's called the One Command, so you actually also speak through it, so which is quite phenomenal.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Is it South African born?
No, also in America. It's, I think the lady's called the Sarah Lovejoy.
Oh, I know that name. Huh. Mm. Okay. That's interesting. I haven't heard of One Command.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also very phenomenal. So I'm so glad to hear about that. And I'm looking forward to being on a Tuesday call then.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'll send you the information.
Thank you. And Yeah, and I'll also make sure that we send all the information of how people can contact you and get hold of you and the programs that you have through our replay of today's call. And, you know, it's we've come to the end of our show, and I feel I can speak to you for hours still.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you. Thank you so, so much for being on the show and actually sharing the information that you have available and for the phenomenal exercises that you've given. Yes, I'm going to be playing with leaves and trees tomorrow.
Shalinda, thank you. I was really excited about doing this with you because I could feel the connection in it. It was just so rich. I'm so grateful for how you just let me go because it's easier to download the information that way and what you asked for, because it just is so fun to talk at that level and exchange at that level. So I had a great time connecting with you. Thank you, my dear. You're a beautiful light.
Thank you, Alison, and it's a pleasure. And I look forward to playing with you some more. You know, what would that
look
like?
Yep, me too.
Awesome. And everyone listening, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you have a phenomenal day or evening wherever you are in the world. And I'm so grateful for all of you. Okay. So bye, everyone, and bye, Alison.
Bye. Blessings.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.